Shall we pray together as we look at these passages? Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that it speaks to us. And thank you especially for this Song of Simeon, the last of our Christmas songs that we're looking at this special time of year. And I pray that this morning as we look at it, you would use our hearts and our minds to draw us closer to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I invite you to take your seats? And as you sit down, I wonder if I can begin by asking you a question just to ponder by yourself for a moment. What were you doing on August the 28th, 2018? What were you doing on August the 28th, 2018? Now, there's no reason why you should know what you were doing on that day. In fact, I probably wouldn't know what I was doing on that day. In many ways, it was the normal day of a curate working at St. Mary's Church. I was at Fenland Crematorium, and I was involved in a funeral there. And there were a few people from Little Downham joining me who were part of the Ely team. And as the funeral came to an end, I said goodbye to everybody, and I said that I would see them later that evening at St. Mary's, where we had a safeguarded meeting. I said the only reason I wouldn't be there was if for some reason Caroline, my wife who was pregnant, somehow went into labor or got rushed into hospital. And off I went in my car, only to find a few minutes later as I was driving back along the A142 into Ely, my phone started ringing. So I began to answer it via the hands-free system in the car. And it was Caroline who had just been for a checkup with the midwife. And the midwife had said she needed to go straight to Addenbrookes because she had suspected preeclampsia. So next thing I knew, we were in Addenbrookes Hospital within a few hours' time. Caroline was being induced. Poor Natalie and Chris had to try and persuade all these people from Little Downham that I wasn't being rushing Caroline into hospital. Everything was okay. But they obviously knew what happened because I'd assured them I would be at the meeting unless Caroline was giving birth. And amazingly, 24 hours later, after quite a few complications and not the most straightforward birth, I found myself dressed up as a doctor in scrubs in an operating theatre as Caroline was undertaking an emergency C-section. And suddenly, from behind the piece of fabric they put up to conceal what was happening from me, in case they thought I would faint or I wouldn't be able to cope with all the blood, I think, I was handed a little baby boy, and I was told, "This is your son." And my first reaction was, "I don't know if it really is my son, because you've just made that baby appear from behind the screen. It could be anyone's son." But I did take this little boy in my hands, and it was the first time I encountered my son. He just screamed and screamed as I held him in my hands. And it was at that point our midwife, Leslie, who'd been with us for the full journey that we since we arrived in hospital all the way through to this moment, said to me, "Just talk to him, because he'll recognize your voice. He'll have heard your voice around." So I stood there like a lemon saying, "Hello, James, it's Daddy, it's your dad." And amazingly, he did actually go quiet for a few moments. And I thought, wow, this is easy, isn't it, being a dad? I've got this sorted. And little did I know, the fun was only just about to begin. But that was my first encounter with our son, James. And it was a very special encounter. And what was amazing was then that the next day we were able to bring him home, and he was able to meet his grandparents. And then a few days later, we were able to bring him to church. And he was able to meet lots of people here at church who'd been praying for us and sharing the journey with us. It was a really special occasion for us to meet our son for the first time and to be able to allow other people to meet him for the first time as well. And this morning in our gospel reading, we read about another meeting or another encounter that takes place between the young baby Jesus and two characters who we've just heard about, Anna and Simeon, as they come and they meet baby Jesus. And it's a very brief encounter, but also it's an extremely special meeting. And we're going to explore this meeting for just a few minutes now. And in particular, we're going to look at what we can learn from Anna and Simeon. And I want to draw out three characteristics from their lives that I think are really important and really helpful for us to take note of this morning. And the first thing that strikes me about Anna and Simeon is that they are expectant. They are expectant that they will meet the young baby Jesus. The passage sets it up that Anna and Simeon are waiting faithfully in the temple, and they know that God has promised his people that he will send them a rescuer. He will send them one who will come as a baby and will rescue his people Israel, but also the whole world. And they've been promised that they will see this young baby if they wait patiently. So there they are in the temple waiting for the young baby Jesus, for this rescuer to appear. Simeon and Anna had this promise that they would see the young baby Jesus before they died, But I wonder if they were starting to get a little bit anxious about whether they were actually going to make it to the stage in their life where they would be able to see Jesus. We don't know how old Simeon was, but he was clearly expecting to die soon. And Anna, we're told, was 84. So there's quite a strong likelihood that Simeon was a similar age. But what amazes me about Simeon and Anna is they don't sit around twiddling their fingers whilst waiting, but they're actively seeking God in the temple whilst they wait for the young baby Jesus to appear. In verse 25, we're told that Simeon leads a righteous and a devout life. And then in verse 27, we read that Anna worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. So they weren't just sat there not doing anything, waiting for Jesus to come along. They were actively seeking God, actively worshipping God, and living a life that would honor him. And together, Anna and Simeon, they both remind me of a lady called Elsie Barker, who was actually one of the first priests to be ordained in the Church of England, one of the first female priests, to be ordained in the Church of England. Elsie felt a very strong call to ordain priestly ministry, but obviously, because of the history of the Church of England, it wasn't possible until 1994 for women to be ordained as priests in the Church of England. So in 1938, she actually was ordained as a deacon, and all the time up to 1994, when women were first allowed to be ordained in the Church of England, she spent time faithfully serving congregations. She loved the people she was around, she served God's church, she served God's people, and she did all she could to fulfill her calling to be a priest, even though she couldn't actually be ordained as one. And then in 1994, when women were allowed to be ordained, and Elsie was in her 80s, she recalled that she had a very significant conversation with her bishop, the Bishop of Suffolk, who was Roy Williamson. And Roy came to Elsie and he said to her, "Elsie, I'm very sorry. I can't make you a priest." And Elsie was obviously a bit disappointed because this is what she felt she'd been called to do. But she did understand that she was quite elderly. She was in her 80s. So she looked at her bishop, and even though it was very painful, she said to him, "It's okay, at my age, I didn't expect to be made a priest." And the bishop looked her straight in the eye and said, "Don't misunderstand me, Elsie. Of course, I intend to ordain you, but God made you a priest a very long time ago." And I think what he was getting at was that although he was the one that was going to make Elsie officially a priest by laying his hands on her head in the ordination ceremony, he recognized that she hadn't been waiting passively. She had been waiting actively until that moment. She'd been serving God and serving God's people. And although he was going to formally recognize her as a priest and invite her into a new and a very significant stage of her ministry, he recognized all that she'd done over the last few decades, serving God's people and serving him as well. And I love this story because I think it shows how even though she wasn't legally a priest at that moment, she had been living out her vocation to the best of her ability. For decades, she had been serving God in every way that she could. And in the same way, Anna and Simeon, I think they also wait actively to meet Jesus. They long to meet their Redeemer, but until that's possible, they give all that they have to serve their God, to worship and honor the Lord in everything that they do. And this morning, I think God calls us to do the same. There might be things that we are longing to do, or there are things that we are longing to happen, things we are waiting for. But until they happen, we aren't called to sit around and to sulk or to twiddle our fingers. But we are called to keep on loving God and to keep on serving God, trusting that he has heard us. He has heard our cry. He knows the desires of our heart, and he's with us. So I think the first thing we can learn from the example of Anna and Simeon is that they were expectant and they waited actively, and the Lord calls us to do the same thing. The second thing I think we can pick up from this encounter is that both Anna and Simeon were obedient to God. They listened to what God was saying to them, and they acted upon it. Mary and Joseph brought their young son, Jesus, to the temple because it was Jewish custom. And they wouldn't have been the only people that would have brought a young son or a young daughter to the temple to present their child to God. Many other young mums and dads would have done the same things. But Simeon was somehow drawn to be in the temple on this day, and he was drawn particularly to the young baby Jesus. And I wonder how Simeon knew that there was something significant about Jesus and not the other young children who were being presented on that day. How did Simeon know that there was something special about the young baby Jesus? Well, I think there's a clue in verse 25 when we're told that the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. God clearly directed him and helped him. And we see again in verse 27, it's the Holy Spirit who moves Simeon to enter the temple courts at this particular moment. Simeon probably didn't know why he was entering the temple courts, but he followed God's nudging and he had the most wonderful encounter with Jesus. And the next thing we know, Anna also turns up and she also meets the young baby Jesus. Perhaps she also had been led by the Holy Spirit to be there at that exact moment. And it makes me wonder, if Anna and Simeon weren't obedient, they might never have encountered Jesus in that way. They might never have had the opportunity to hold him in their arms and to rejoice that they had met their rescuer, the one that had been promised for hundreds of years. If Anna and Simeon weren't obedient, they might have missed this opportunity. And I think for us, it's a wake-up call for us to also be able to listen to God's Holy Spirit, to follow God's nudging, even when it's not always clear where God is leading us. I remember years ago when we first moved to Ely, and I was about to start training at at Ridley Hall in Cambridge, we felt a little nudge to come and visit St. Mary's Church, and we came incognito. We didn't mention that we were about to start training at Ridley Hall, and we came in and we had a really warm welcome, and we met Chris, who's the vicar, and we sat down and we enjoyed the service, and we thought it was a quite nice church, it was an okay place to be. Little did we know that a few days later, as I began college, they would suggest that I began a placement here as an ordinand. So we came back the next week, and then I was officially an ordinand on placement for a year, and everything was going really well, and I came to the end of my first year, and they said, do you want to carry on at St. Mary's? So suddenly, we were there for a second year at St. Mary's. And then it came to the end of my second year, and the summer came around, and we began to discuss curacies. And the next thing I knew, I was invited to stay at St. Mary's for my curacy. And I'm still here today, years later, after we came into St. Mary's for that first time. But I'm really glad that we did come that first time, that we felt that little nudge of God to come here and to be here just for a few hours on that first Sunday morning in September many years ago. Because I don't know if we hadn't been here that Sunday, whether I'd have been so enthusiastic about coming here on placement. And if I hadn't been on placement, I'm not sure I would have been so enthusiastic about coming here as a curate. And who knows, if I hadn't come here that very first morning and followed that little nudge me and Caroline felt, perhaps I would not even be here today talking to you at the front of church. I'm really glad I followed that nudge, and I'm sure all of you experience nudges in your life as well, as God speaks to you, maybe to ring someone or to make contact with somebody who you've not spoken to for a long time, maybe to invite somebody to come along to church or to join us in something that we're doing as a church that they might feel they can't come along to by themselves. Whatever the nudge is, follow that nudge, because who knows what God will do with that little nudge. Simeon and Anna followed the nudge to be in the temple on this day, and they met their young baby Jesus, and I'm sure it was one of the most amazing experiences of their whole life. So Anna and Simeon were expectant, they were obedient, and finally, just very quickly, as we draw to a close, they were extremely joyful. If you've been with us over the last few weeks at St. Mary's, we've been looking at some of the different songs that surround the birth of Jesus. And this is why this morning we're looking at the Song of Simeon as part of our passage. It's unusual to look at it at this point in the church calendar. Normally we keep this song for Candlemas, so we're a little bit early. But in verse 28, we read this amazing song that Simeon sings or praises God with when he sees the young baby Jesus. The passage says he takes Jesus into his arms and he praises God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." It's clear in this song that Simeon recognizes exactly who Jesus is. He understands that God promised long ago that he would send a Messiah, and here he is before his very eyes. Here is the Messiah held in the arms of Simeon. But the thing that strikes me most about this song is that Simeon sings that now he has met Jesus, he is ready to die. This is the most important, the most joyful, the most significant moment in Simeon's life. Now that he's met Jesus, he is ready to die because nothing else matters in comparison to meeting Jesus. And I guess this leaves us with a challenge at the end of 2019 as we begin a new year in just a few years' time. As we enter into 2020, what would you say is the most important thing in your life? What brings you the most joy? Would you be like Simeon and say it's meeting and knowing the Lord Jesus? Many people have followed on from Simeon, and one of the people that has struck me most as I've read their story is a man called Jim Elliot. He was a missionary to Ecuador, and he wrote in his journal these words: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And he went to Ecuador believing that he wanted to reach an unreached tribe who had not heard about Jesus before, and to tell them about how they were loved by Jesus. And he was told it was a very risky business, and in fact he ended up being killed by the tribe one of the first few times that he went to try and meet them. But he said these words: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Just like Simeon, this young missionary who was younger than me, realized that Jesus was the most important thing in his life. And he was willing to put everything else in second place. Jesus came first because knowing Jesus was the best thing to him. It was the most incredible joy, the most incredible experience, the thing that changed absolutely everything for him. And so this morning, as we look on the story of Anna and Simeon, as we see how they are expectant and how they are obedient, we might learn a lot from them. But I would also encourage us this morning to really challenge ourselves about how we are joyful. Are we joyful knowing and meeting Jesus? Because I'm sure many of you will have met young babies, just like when I introduced some of you here and my wider family to young baby James. That was a very special occasion, an occasion for great joy. But the amazing truth is, this morning, we don't need to have a physical baby here with us. We have the manger and the stable to help us remember that Jesus was born. But the truth is that Jesus is here amongst us. He is living amongst us this morning, and he wants us to meet with him and to experience his joy, to know that he's with us in the good times in our lives, but also the hard times as well. And it's my hope and my prayer that as we draw to the end of 2019 and as we enter into 2020, that maybe we will be able to join with Simeon, to join with Jim Elliot, and to join with many of the saints who through the centuries have discovered the amazing joy and the amazing privilege it is to follow Jesus. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the example of Anna and Simeon. Thank you for their faithfulness to you. Thank you that they were expectant, waiting for you to appear in their lives, Jesus. Thank you that they were obedient to you. But most of all, thank you for the joy they experienced as they met you, Lord Jesus. And this morning, it's my prayer that we would each meet you. We would know you, Jesus, as the greatest joy in our life. Come now, we pray, Holy Spirit. Help us to see what's most important in our lives. And fill us deep within with the joy that only you can bring. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.